Our scripture this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 2. And I promise I'm not going to preach sequentially through the whole Bible, one chapter after another. But I do want to at least get to chapter 3 of Genesis. That would be next week. But chapter 2, thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But the streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it separated into four headwaters. The name of the first was Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah. There is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon, which winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But to Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made the woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the Lord said, "This now is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother, and he's united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." This is a part of the description of the way God wants things to be. This is description of his creation and his plan before the fall, before the sin of mankind. The book of Genesis describes to what God wants, what God likes, and why God does a lot of the things that he does. And the second chapter has got a lot of teaching. I don't think I'll be able to do much more than touch on the most of it. But it's talking about we were made for God to be on the earth and to be at peace with God and to be at peace with the earth and to be at peace with each other. So that's kind of how I'm going to break that down. And how voluntary obedience is the background for the love, is the background for everything that God had for the plan. And this is important for us, not just as ancient history, but when we read the scriptures, we find that the Lord has promised a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And so we anticipate that God's creation is going to be made new. And we're going to live in peace with God and in peace with His creation and in peace with others. That's the hope. And now, as we're living here as part of His kingdom, when we've got young people that are investigating, planning on joining the church, they're not joining a club. They're acknowledging that they're going to be part of the kingdom. And we want to live in this kingdom life now in as much as we can. I don't want to wait for obedience until Christ comes. I don't want to wait to be at peace with God until Christ comes. If I wait till then, it's too late. And I want to be at peace in my family and at peace with you now. This is the gist of what this chapter is talking about. Now, people try other ways to fulfill God's plan than just by obedience to Him and living the good life. Jesus said, I came to... the thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have the full life. And this chapter 2 describes the full life. At peace with God, at peace with the world, at peace with each other. And people today, they try to find a shortcut to worship or to peace. One of the things that they try to use to get peace is heroin or fentanyl. And there are ways they try to experience worship is with crystal meth. And I understand that it gives people a euphoria. And I kind of wonder, never having tried it, I don't want to try it. But I kind of wonder what is it that makes people destroy their lives? So I looked up on the internet, and this is some of what it said. The use of illicit methamphetamine includes euphoria, decreased need for food or sleep, increased mental alertness, energy levels, disinhibition, sense of well-being, and increased confidence. Effects are dosage dependent, onset from 20 to 40 minutes if it's swallowed, 3 to 5 minutes if it's snorted, and almost immediately if smoked or taken intravenously. Smoking and injecting users report an intense, pleasurable wave sensation or rush. That's what they're after. Here's what they get. Repeated chronic use of methamphetamine may result in undesirable and dangerous effects, including psychotic symptoms such as severe paranoia, hallucinations, delusions of persecution, anxiety symptoms, agitation, and affective symptoms of depression and mood swings. Others report effects of chronic use include insomnia, malnutrition, involuntary movements, increased psychomotor activity, elevated blood pressure, heart rates, and sometimes a myocardial infarction or stroke. Continued use has a high probability of dependence. The most common symptoms of withdrawal are depression, fatigue, restlessness, nervousness, feelings of alienation, irritation, cravings for more methamphetamine, severe paranoia, hallucinations, and delusions. The physical side effects of withdrawal include tremors, sweating, headaches, dizziness, dry mouth, and gastrointestinal problems. Severity of withdrawal depends on the length and magnitude of use and may be compounded by pre-existing mental health problems. You know, I think we've got a better way than methamphetamines. It comes at a price, and the price is surrender. All of the good stuff that happens in the garden, there also is a tree in the middle, two trees in the middle of the garden, and the Lord has told them, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's a kind of love that can only be shown through obedience. And God in the garden, He gave people the opportunity to obey. Now, I've heard people say, I can resist anything but temptation. The idea being that you know, if there's a temptation there, then I have to avail myself of whatever the temptation is. That's not Bible talk. In the kingdom, we recognize that there are opportunities to be disobedient are opportunities to deny self and love God. God made this universe for His glory and so that love might be the center of our existence. This is the heart of worship. The price of it is, we say, I know what God wants and I want what God wants. Now, bless His name, our God is good. And what He wants for us is good stuff. You know, the teaching about the Sabbath is critical teaching for the good and healthy life. I think we need a day of rest and worship. And I'm not fussed. I know the Seventh-day Adventists, God bless them. They want to be very particular. It's got to be on Saturday. People, there aren't a lot of Advent Christians in the world, so when I go somewhere and I meet people, they say, what do you do? I'm a preacher. Where do you preach? Advent Christian, they'll say, many times they've said, oh, is that Seventh-day Adventist? I say, no, that's Everyday Adventist. I feel like I can worship every day. I feel like it's an any-day Adventist. The Lord may come any day. So that's how I look at the what particular day it needs. But I think that it's part of God's good call for our life that we have a time dedicated to rest and worship Him. It's our date with God. It's like when Noel and I have gone shopping. That doesn't sound like much of a date, does it? Sometimes it's a lifeline. I just got to have some time out walking around pushing a cart, putting things in the cart that she doesn't want in there. It's just part of our lives. We got to have a time of worship. That's what we need with God. I mean, I worship. I want to be an everyday Adventist. I want to worship the Lord when I'm driving along, when I see all the turkeys behind the fire department. Do you know that's where they're hiding a lot of times? Behind the fire department. I don't know why. But I see all those turkeys and my heart is glad. I say, Lord, it's an awesome creation. But I also want to be with You and I want to praise God together. I want to see the little children praising God. I want to see that and have that to be part of my life. That's part of the love that I have for God is encouraged by the love that you have for God. So that rest, and I'll tell you something too. I think we need to get rested enough to actually get bored. And I don't think it's healthy for us. We may be physically inert, but just to have our television on all the time or our phones going all the time does not give our heads a break. I think we need to get bored once in a while. Can anybody appreciate boredness? If you never get bored, Monday morning comes and you're going, ah, I've got to work. If you sit down on a Sunday afternoon, if you have a Sunday afternoon nap, that's the good life. And if you get up and you don't do too much and you just sit around, after a while you feel like doing something. If you just go, 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 go all the time, you just wear out. That's not the good life. God says, part of the good life, just sit there and do nothing. Sit there until you feel like doing something. That may take, some of you are pretty worn out. It may take you a while till you get, so you really feel like getting up and doing something. So that's be at peace with God. Now The next part that I want to reference here is His description of the garden. Particularly, I want to talk about the fact that He has designed us to have this relationship with creation. And I see this so much when I see people with their pets, or when I've had pets, or when I've enjoyed other people's pets. When we lived in New Zealand, we lived on a place called Rose Hill Drive, and there was this big cat. His belly almost touched the ground. I loved that cat. We called him James. I don't know what his name was. He wasn't our cat, but you couldn't walk out of the house. You walk out of the house, and James would come. He'd come running out to you. He expected that you were going to rub his belly, and that was irresistible. You had to rub his belly. Now, that animal is estranged from us. He might as well be an alien from another planet. We've got no understanding of how cats think. But we love them. God's put that in our hearts. And I've got to think that when the Lord brought the animals, it says Adam named them. I don't think he gave them like these scientific names like Archaeopteryx. Or you know what the name of a lion is? I had to look it up. Panthera leo. I don't think he said Panthea Lero, that's your name. I think he said, I'm calling you Whiskers. I think that was that relationship that we have, that God allows us to have with creation. And I think that's what's coming. In fact, we read it quite plainly. The promise in Isaiah chapter 11, it says, the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. That's what we're looking forward to. The earth made new. And I think that Christians ought to be involved in and participating in the environmental movement, because we're supposed to be stewards of the planet, and we've got something to teach the environmental movement, and that is we don't worship the creation, we worship the Creator. And even though we're doing what we can to care for God's good earth, you know, there's a despair among the hardcore environmentalists because they think it's all too late and there's no hope. And we are a people of hope because we're a people of the second coming. And we know that there's a new earth on its way. Now, the last thing I wanted to say about this chapter in God's great plan for us is that it's not good for man to be alone. And there's great teaching here. And I've heard some awesome teaching regarding the fact that God made Adam and Eve, and they were a family without any children. You don't have to have children to be a family. And how there's a primacy in the relationship between a man and his wife, and the children need to know that the relationship between mom and dad comes first. They need to know, children need to know they're not the center of the universe. And when children think that they're the center of the universe, they grow up having problems because they're not going to find a mate that thinks they're the center of the universe. Nobody else but mama or daddy can possibly think they're the center of the universe. And they need to know that they're loved and secured, but one of the most secure things that children can experience is the knowledge that daddy loves mommy and mommy loves daddy. That's primary teaching in Genesis chapter 2. But I want to go beyond that and say this is an excellent teaching and rationale regarding the body of Christ and the family of God, because it's not healthy, even for unmarried people, it's not healthy for them to be alone. And in the body of Christ, we have a family. Now, we advertise Sunday school every quarter, trying to get people signed up for Sunday school. And part of that, a big part of that, is we need to know the Word of God and live with the Word of God. But a big part of that is friendship. You need, you know, we love our sister Sybil. I'm very concerned for Sybil. She's had this. She's been caring for Tom, and he's been sick. He just died. We had the funeral yesterday, and he's been sick for a long time, and her whole life has been invested in caring for him, just like my mom caring for my dad when he was dying. And now she's alone, and her family's going to be going. And I think that Joanne Cole has shown the way. And others, like my mom, have shown the way. Joanne goes over to the nursing home and visits Rachel Smith. Any of you know Rachel Smith? So Joanne is going to invest her life in the body. She started a little Bible study in her home. And she's decided she's not going to be alone. And that's a decision every single person has to make. They decide, I'm not going to be alone. I have been given spiritual gifts. You have been given spiritual gifts. And they're not to be used on yourself. It's not an option. The Lord has told us if we're part of His kingdom, our gifts are used to bless others. That's the reason what we're given gifts. And so we need to be in church, not just so we can sing together, but so that we can bless each other, so that we can make friends, so that we can be friends. Now, I know some people, it's harder for them to make friends than it is for others. But I'm telling you that the Lord put us in here, in this world, to love each other. And you can't do that just watching on a video screen. Or just watching, Charles Stanley. I love to hear his preaching. His preaching has helped me. But just watching Charles Stanley is not going to give me an opportunity to love you and to show appreciation and to use my gifts. And anybody out there just watching us on a video, praise God if you're watching on YouTube. We pray that you're watching and being blessed, but you've got to find somebody and actually use your gifts to make a difference in somebody's life. God intended us to be together, and by the body of Christ, our family can be more than just a man and his wife. Our family is big. And you can enjoy, don't you, and enjoy seeing the kids on a Sunday morning here at church? I can remember when Ariel had Haley and brought her to church. I don't know if she was 15 minutes old or how old she was, but one of those little plastic buckets you put in the car, you know? Car seat. And I was as proud as though I was granddad. You know what I'm saying? Don't we rejoice in each other, in the families that we have? This is part of the call. This is not just the call that we have now. In eternity, we're going to have a fellowship. One of the great pictures in the book of Revelation is people from every tribe and every language and in every nation gathered around the throne with these gawky looking creatures with eyeballs all over them. 24 elders around the throne. Praising God. Oh, Lord God, worthy are you to receive glory and honor and power and majesty. And it's going to be awesome because we're going to be right there with each other. You know? And I have pastored people all over. And they're going to be there too. And people that you've laid to rest in the ground. They're going to be there too. It's going to be a great getting up morning and a gathering of the faithful when there's the new heavens and the new earth. This is not just ancient history in Genesis chapter 2. This is the destiny for which a good God, a loving God, sent His Son to the cross that we might have life and have it to the full. May the Lord fill our hearts with joy as we say no to ourselves and yes to Him, and say, Lord, may we continue to love you on and on and on forever.